Do you know that you are loved 100% by God? Do you know that God loves you 100%? Do you want more of Jesus today? Here, do you want more of Jesus today?
Yeah.
Would you like to have peace with God?
Yeah.
I'm praying for you. And I keep praying for you. And there are a number of people in this room and some that aren't here today that have come to me and said in different words, I want to know Jesus. I want to have peace with God. I want to know Jesus. I want to have peace with God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Different words that people in this room have said. I want to give you a thought. You can know 100% for sure. You could have peace with God, and you could know 100% for sure that if you were to die right now, you would immediately go to be with God in heaven. Last week, my wife began a study. She wrote out, but she had written it out, what was that, 2-3 years ago? Back right before I went to Israel. And God gave her this whole study on the Gethsemane preparation. You see, it's going to take you deeper. He made about 2 pages and couldn't go past that. I understand. I appreciate that. And the reason I say appreciate that is because when you read it, if it's dealing with you, you need to stop. When God's dealing with you, you need to let God deal with you where you're at, what's going on, and not just try to keep going reading. Like if you're reading the Bible and God's dealing with you about something, don't keep going. If He's dealing with you, stop before you keep going. Okay? Make sure you have peace with God. You understand. You're cooperating with Him with what He's doing right there. If when I was running a machine shop, and when I went there, if they hired 100 guys in a year, 95 of them were gone by the end of the year. In other words, they had a 95% turnover ratio when I went there. And they came to me after I was there for a while and said, would you take over hiring and firing people? And I said, yes. And I turned it around so that if they hired 100 people, at the end of the year, if at most we lost five people. So in other words, I turned it from a 95% turnover ratio to a 5% turnover ratio. If you understand what I'm saying. And the reason is because what I would do is if you came to work in that shop, I would talk to you, find out what you had done before, ask you questions. Have you ever seen a machine like this? You ever done this before? And then I would take you over to the machine, because we had about 70 men that worked in that shop. It was a 70-man shop that I ran. And I would take you over to a machine, and I would show you how to machine the parts. And then I would say, do you understand what I'm saying? And they'd go, uh-huh. And then I would say, now, you do it. And I would watch them do it. And if they start doing it and I notice they're not doing it right, I would stop them and say, hey, you need to see this. You need to do this. You need to not do this. You need to put it in this way. And I would help them to understand. Now, sometimes I would take her to a job get her working on that job, but I'd watch her for a little bit. She just couldn't do that job. That's not the right job for her. See, I would not be real good at staying home taking care of the kids. God didn't design me that way. If we did it that way, Sue would come home at the end of the day and find the kids in a garbage bag up to their neck and say, you need to clean what's under the garbage bag. Okay? Because I don't like doing diapers and slobber, and when they eat, I don't like it when the kids are like just drooling all over the place. I just don't like that. So I'm not designed for that. So if she couldn't do the job, if I took her, tried to train her, and she couldn't do the job, I would say, okay, come. And I would take her to another job. And I'd pray, God, which job should I put her on? I'd take her to another job. I'd show her how to do it. And then I would say, now you do it. And then she would do it. And she would feel comfortable with what she was doing. She would like what she was doing because it wasn't something she couldn't do. It was something she could do. Do you understand? I'm telling you that for this. I want to help you. You see that little paper here that you have? Carson, you didn't keep one.
Oh.
You need one for yourself. This is going to help you the rest of your life. Oh, oh, you're welcome.
Stop it.
Are you mimicking me or mocking me? Stop it. I wouldn't do that. Okay, so here we go. Look at this little paper. Okay. In a minute, we're going to read this. And they're just verses. But these verses are going to help to take you. You want God, right? If you don't want God, don't read it. If you want God, this is going to help you go from where you are to bring you to having peace with God. There is a way to get you here. And I'm going to help you. And that's what's on this little paper. When you read your Bible, did you get one of these? I want you to look at it. You look at this little paper, it's going to tell you some keys about how to get more. You've read the Bible. You know what I mean? You start reading it. But you don't keep reading it. You read it. And maybe you feel like you didn't get anything out of it. Or you didn't get much out of it. For whatever reason, you didn't keep reading it. But I'm going to tell you something that's going to help you. When you read it, and you need to write your answers down. You need to have a notebook. If you don't have one, I will give you one. I buy them once a year. They go on sale when it's time for school to start. And you can buy them for about a dime a piece. And I buy like, you know, well, what I normally do, I've bought out the whole place. But when I went to Walmart, I couldn't buy them all out. They had like case after case after case. So I bought like several cases, and the people said, why are you doing that? I said, because we give out notebooks at our church, and it's to help you. So I want you to write down your answers to these questions when you're reading the Bible, okay? When you read a verse, you ask yourself, who is this talking about? What is this talking about? And write down your answer. Are you listening to me? Write down, are there any repeated words or phrases? Okay? Like, for example, the first one up here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is there a repeated word in there? Word. Okay. Why? And why is that repeated? Very good. And see, just write that down. Repeated words. Okay? Word. So we can see the subject of that verse, the subject of that verse is Word, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, exactly like he said, the Word. So we need to write that down, the Word. The word. God. Okay? One more time. You don't have a notebook? Okay? Then we will get you one, and they're over in that office, and we'll get you one, okay? All right. Okay, wait a minute. We're not going to interrupt, right? Good, thank you. Number three, you're going to write these things down. What is the verse teaching? First, what's it talking about? Now, what's it teaching? What's the verse teaching? If you were going to take that verse and you were going to help a little child to know it, what is that verse teaching? What is that verse talking about? You need to, I want you to write that down. What is it teaching or talking about? What is God saying to me? When you start reading that verse, what is God saying to me through that verse? Is he saying anything? No? Okay, I keep going. If he's saying something, stop and let's deal with that. Where's my wife? If my wife starts talking to me and I don't get the first sentence she says, but I don't stop her and say, Sue, I didn't get the first sentence you said. What'd you say? Then when she keeps talking, I don't know what she's talking about because I missed part of it. I just went on and let her just talk. You understand? And what I'm telling you today is going to help you with your life. Not just with God. It's going to help you with your marriage. It's going to help you with your relationships with other people. We need communication. Do you know the number one reason for divorce is lack of communication? People don't communicate to one another. He doesn't listen to me. She doesn't listen to me. They don't care about me because they don't think you care about what they're saying. When you go to talk to my wife and I, do you think we care about what you're saying? What do we do that's different? Yeah, we pay attention on purpose as if we cared, right? And then we speak true words. See, there's another thing. Thank you. That was a big one. That's a big one. That right there. Let me ask you a question. You just reminded me of something. I'm asking every one of you, we're taking a test right now. I'm giving you a test. If the test was for talking, you would pass, but that's not the test. Okay, here we go. Are you honest? Are you honest? Some of you are being honest because you're saying sometimes. What'd you say? What'd you say? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Well, let me ask you, do you want to be honest? You know what? I'm not asking for peanut gallery comments, okay? This isn't like I don't know what you call it, some talk show or something, you know, okay? Here we go. Let's stay to the subject, okay? Thank you. Are you honest with yourself? See, that's where a lot of us have a hard time. We don't want to be honest with ourselves because you know why? We have sin and we're afraid to even look at it or think about it or admit it. We know we've done things. But let me tell you, the reason I've told you over and over and over again, what was I before I got saved? What was I? Drug dealer? Have you ever heard me say that before? You know why I've said it? Because it used to be, see, if you could do it wrong, I've done it. Do you hear what I said? If you could do it wrong, I've done it. And then when I met Jesus, I was a sinner. I started reading this Bible for the wrong reason. I was going to sell it door to door to pay my way through school. Somebody had me say, here, come, sell these books and you can make money to pay your way through school. And when I started reading the Bible, not even for the right reason, but it's so powerful because it's alive. It's the Word of God. It's not like a newspaper or a novel or something. It's living. And when you read it, it gets inside of you. when you come here and God starts working in you, you have to deal with that. Some people have said to my wife, Sue, when Harvey preaches, it's like it hits me right now. She said, they'll say, but when you preach, I'm thinking, okay, I already know that, or I didn't get anything out of that. They said, but when I get away from you, it's like the words you said, they follow me. And they just keep talking to me all week, and they won't leave me alone. But that's the Word of God. The Word of God, I have a saying, God is the only one who can get away with nagging. And God nags. He just, you ever felt like God's doing this? Huh? You ever lay there at night and stuff's dealing with you and you can't go to sleep? Now, watch this. When I got saved, my life was full of sin, full of darkness, full of evil, full of hiding. Are you listening? But when I started reading the Bible that night, Wednesday, June 30th, 1976, I'll never forget it. And I'm reading the Bible. It was like God just put this big light on my life. And it was like I couldn't hide. And then I felt like all my clothes were gone. Like I was naked. And like everybody could see me. I wasn't hiding anymore. Now, as I was reading it, I started looking at my life and I didn't like what I was seeing. You ever looked at your life and not liked what you see? You don't even want to talk about it or think about it? Matter of fact, I could deal with any one of you in here and talk to you for just a few minutes because I have. And all I got to do is ask you a few questions and I can cut right through all your little games and all your little blocks. And I could get right in. When I met Sue, I could do it. I did it then. I'd start talking to her just before we got married, and she didn't want to marry me. But as soon as I met her, I knew God wanted me to marry her because he told me this. He had told me. I said, God, when I met Jesus, I said, God, I need a wife. And I said, I don't know how to pick one. Because you've seen the girls I've been with, and obviously I ain't doing a good job. So God, I want a wife. You pick her. I was in the state of Tennessee. I went back to the state of Florida, and then I went out to the state of Arizona, and she was from Michigan, and had her out there in Arizona, Phoenix. And when I met her, as soon as I met her, boom, as soon as I saw her, God said, this is who I want you to marry. So I tried to get her to go out with me, to date me. No, 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 no. Finally, one day she said, I am not ever going to date you. And I said, you don't have to. You're going to marry me. She said, you're crazy. I said, I think they diagnosed me that way. But you're still going to marry me. Has nothing to do with it. You're going to marry me. And what she did was she tried to run me off. She said, I know what I'll do. I'll open the Bible because it scares most people. And I'll start reading the Bible with them and that'll scare them off. Well, she didn't know. I had just met Jesus 6 months before. And I loved that Bible. So when she opened that Bible, I jumped on that thing like a duck on a June bug, man. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm eating that thing. And she goes, wow, he's not scared of it. He can't get enough. And God said, Sue, that man's going to be a preacher. And you've been asked, you told me that you wanted to marry a preacher.
So you married Sue.
April 30th, 1977 is when we got married. So that means this April 30th, we'll be married 36 years. Cool, eh? Now watch. Now watch. When you read the Bible, if you only read one verse and you got out of it what God wanted you to get, it's a whole lot better than if you read 10 chapters and didn't get anything out of it. That's it. Now, here's the thing. When you read the Bible, if you don't understand, don't worry about what you don't understand. The part you do understand, what are you doing with that? The part you understand, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with it? So when you read, right, when you read the Bible, you need to ask yourself, who is it, what is it talking about? Are there any repeated words or phrases? What is the verse teaching here? What is God saying to me? Now, do I believe what it's saying? I need to pray this verse into my life. Okay? For example, let's take the first one, just so I can show you. Because it's, okay? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, it says, the Word was with you. I want to be with you. And it said, the Word was God. Then I want to know you as both God and as the Word. You see? Pray it. Tell God, I want this. And whatever it says, you just simply pray it to God. God, I want to be in the beginning with you. See, right now, some of you who don't know God yet, this is your beginning. And we're going to take you from here to meet Jesus. And then that's going to be a new beginning. And you're going to start life all over. But see, God's starting with you right where you're at to bring you to Him. Now, those of you who do know Jesus, this is going to help you a lot. Because it's going to help you to understand how you got to Jesus. It's going to help you to understand about Jesus. And then guess what it's going to do? When you understand it, you're going to be able to tell it to other people. You're going to want to share it with other people. I care about you, and I want to help you. You and me and everybody on this planet have all sinned. We all have darkness. We all have things we don't want to look at. We all want to look around and say, well, I'm better than she is, and okay, she might do better than me in this area, but I'm better than her in that area. And we want to think of ourselves that way because we want to think good about ourselves. But if you're going to be honest, you got to look at the whole picture. You can't just look at what you want to look at. The part that doesn't look good, we need to bring it to God. God, because He already sees it. Do you understand? He already knows. You're not tricking Him. You're only deceiving yourself. I want to teach you how to have peace with God so that you could bring your whole life to God and say, God, this is true about my life. I'm sorry I did it. I wish I had never done that. And not blame somebody else. Well, it was just the people I was running with. It was because my dad divorced my mom. See, sometimes when I give my testimony and I say, when my dad told me he was going to divorce my mom the second time, that's when I got into drugs. And then I always say, I am not blaming my dad or mom for me getting into drugs. I said, I'm just telling you that I was at a weak place in my life, a real situation in my life, and instead of turning to God to get my healing, my comfort, to get better, I turned from God and I got bitter. I got angry. I started growing long hair. Up until then, I had white walls. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like his is on top. Well, mine was like that everywhere, you know? I had real short hair until my dad told me he was going to divorce my mom, and then I became a rebel, and I grew my hair out. That's why my hair was down to here when I met Jesus, okay? Because I was a rebel. Now, I keep telling you that because if God could do it with me, none of you are as bad as I was. Do you understand? But I have peace with God ever since July 1st, 1976. I have peace with God. And whenever something comes up from my past, I immediately bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I don't want that in my life. Jesus, please forgive me. And then Jesus not only forgives me, but he washes my mind, he washes my conscience, he washes my heart. And then he guides me on the right path, because God's, you ought to write these three words down, God's way works. When you're in God's way, you have peace. When you're in God's way, you have joy. I got peace like river, I got peace like river, I got peace like a river in my soul. Now, how can this grown man stand up here and just be silly in front of you and not even worry about what you think? See, I'm standing up here and I'm just worshiping God, and sometimes I turn around and all of you are just sitting there, and it's like, I don't care if y'all think I'm silly. I don't care if you think, why is he raising his hands? He's the only one standing. Because every one of you have thought that. And I don't care. And I have freedom inside. But see, you, many of you, you have a fear of man on you. You worry about what other people think and say. So you have to dress just right. And I don't care. Because I have peace with God. And all of that doesn't take, all that stuff that you think or say, or anybody says about me, it doesn't take away my peace or my joy. I'm just sorry you don't have that peace. So I want to bring you into having that peace. I want to bring you into having that peace. Because I love you. You know that? You know that, don't you? So, and then verse 7, you tell God, God, I want what this verse is saying. Personalize it. Like, look at John 3:16. For God, are you looking? Looking. For God, look. For God so loved the world. Now watch. Let's put her name in there, Alina. For God so loved Alina that he gave his only begotten son. Who's that? Jesus. Say it out loud, see? I know, but say it when you're reading it. That whosoever, is Alina a whosoever? She's a whoever, right? I mean, like if I said God loved everybody in the world, she's one of the anybody's or everybody's, right? Okay, so she's a whosoever. See? For God so loved Alina that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that if Juliana believes in Jesus, Juliana should not perish and go to hell and spend eternity with a boogeyman, but have everlasting life with God. Do you get it? Personalize it. Read it and make it so you're putting it in your own words. And then the last thing there. How can I apply this to my life? God, how does this verse apply to my life? Just ask him. If you ask him, he's going to answer you. But it may take a little bit, but maybe you're going to be laying in bed and you're going to be thinking about it. Okay? Now we're going to read this. So, how many of you want more Jesus? Just want to see your hands. Those that want Jesus. Okay? How many of you want to have peace with God? Okay? Good. I see ya. Here we go. I'm trucking. Okay, here we go. You ready? Okay, you ready? I just like being part of this. All right. So we're going to read this. Yes. That would be cool. Let's do that. But you got to come up here so we can get it. It's got to get recorded. Okay? Okay. John chapter 1, verse 1. Here, why don't you come? You want to have a turn? Come here, come here. You read John 1:1. Go ahead.
John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Thank you. Verse 14. You want to read it? Here, you read verse 14. Read it slowly and clearly.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes. Now notice at the bottom of verse 14, where it says begotten equals one born. So let's read it that way. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only one born of the Father, full of grace and truth. That way, if you say, well, I don't know what the word begotten means, that's why I felt like God wanted me to write some words in here to help you. Okay? Here, would you like to read verse 16?
Sure. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Now, as you read this, this is going to give you a flow from where you are to peace with God. Would you like to read? Oh, that's a long one. Here, I'm going to read the long one, okay?
Okay,
I like to read the long one, okay. John 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Who's it talking about? Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many, have you ever been rejected? Jesus was rejected by all his people. Like if he was Bosnian, all the Bosnians had nothing to do with him. And yet he made the world. But when he came to the world didn't receive him. Okay? They knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many people as did receive him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, when they believed on his name, they were born not of blood, not because, you know, it's not like Sodic is saved and then it turns around and that makes his kids saved. No, he's not born because of who he's related to. So it's talking about being born again, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not because you just said, woke up one day and said, I'm going to get saved today. I've had people do that. I'm going to get saved today. And they didn't get saved that day. Because you got to get saved when God's dealing with you. And in order for you to get saved, are you listening? Because I'm going to have you repeat this. In order for someone to get saved, they first have to realize they're lost. In order to be able to go to heaven, you have to realize you deserve to go to hell. If you don't realize you deserve to go to hell, you're not ready to get saved yet. If you think you're a pretty good person, then you're not ready to get saved yet. But if you realize that you have sin and that you don't deserve to go to heaven and that you deserve to pay for your sin, that's when you can come to Jesus and get forgiven and he'll come to live inside of you and forgive you and give you the ticket, which is himself. He gives you the ticket, which is Jesus, to get you into heaven. Okay? John chapter 1 and verse 29. Would you like to read that?
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
There you go. So what did we see? We see that Jesus, next day, Alina sees Jesus coming unto her. And she says, behold, check it out. Wow, he's the Lamb of God. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. And I'm part of the world. He's the only one who could take away my sin. You see how you read that verse and you think about it a little bit, what it's saying, and put it in your own words. Now, John 3:17-21. For God sent not his Son into the world, or unto Muharram, for example, to condemn Muharram, but that Muharram, through Jesus, might be saved. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned. They're not guilty anymore. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is what makes us guilty. That light is come into the world. Remember when I said I read the Bible and it was like I felt like it was in a spotlight? That light is come unto Harvey, but Harvey loved darkness rather than light because his deeds were evil. See, I could have quit reading the Bible that night. And that's what a lot of people do. They'll leave church and I don't want to go back there. It made me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to read that Bible. It made me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to face the truth. It makes me feel uncomfortable. For everyone that does evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. What does reproved mean? It means to be convinced that he is wrong or at fault. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, lest he should be convinced that he is wrong and he's at fault. Now in the next verse, the word manifest means clearly known or revealed. So we're going to read that. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they may be clearly known or revealed, that they are wrought or they are worked in God. In other words, see, if you are trying to get to heaven by working for it, if you're trying to get to heaven by trying to be good and do things for God. Now, for example, Juliana and Muharram, they love this church. They love this. And when they came here, they're in a business that they looked at our furniture in here and they said, wow, this furniture needs help. And they said, you know what? We do this for a living. You know what they do for a living? They cover furniture. So they came here, and it took them weeks. And they would come here for hours at a time, and they would take all the other covering off and put new covering on. They paid for it. They came and did the work. And they did it to be a blessing because they love God and they love this church. Now, if they said, God, I'm doing this, and now that I did this, you ought to let me into heaven. And he'd say, nope, I can't let you into heaven because that doesn't make you a good person that you're doing that. He said, if that would get you into heaven, he said, then I died on the cross for nothing. He said, I died on the cross because there was no other way. I gave earth 4,000 years to try to follow my word, obey my commandments, and the majority of people born kept going to hell. He said, so after 4,000 years of letting y'all try to do it, I kept waiting. He said, and I didn't want people to go to hell. So after 4,000 years, I finally said, okay, fine, that's enough. I'll step out of heaven. I'll go down there. I'll take care of it so they can have a way to get to heaven. And it's not by us being good. It's by us admitting I'm not good and I needed Jesus to die on the cross for me. But when we look at other people and we say, well, I'm better than he is. So, you know, if anybody's going to heaven, I ought to get to go to heaven because I don't do all the stuff this guy does. You know, he speeds and gets tickets. I don't do that. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's not, are we better than somebody else? The Bible says to go to heaven, the entrance requirement is perfection. And since none of us can be perfect, there's one who is perfect, and his name is Jesus. And so we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, not only am I not perfect, I'm far from perfect. And I've got all this sin. What do I do with it? He says, if you give me your sin, he said, you know what I'll do? I'll give you my righteousness. I'll forgive you of your sin, and I'll clothe you with my righteousness. He says, we're going to take all your sin and put it on my credit card. And he said, and then I'm going to go to the cross and pay the credit card in full. You get it? Now he says, now what I want to do is now that I've paid for your sin, he says, I want to give you what I have, which is perfectness. Being perfect. And he says, and I want to give you that as a gift. But you have to receive it, admitting that I died for you. And then realize it's my blood that you need to forgive you of your sin. That's it. And you got to understand that he's God and he raised from the dead. It says, and we're going to get to that as we keep reading, okay? So look at Mark 1:15. When Jesus first started preaching, he said, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, the next passage is going to talk about what the gospel is. I like how Paula read it one time. The word is moreover. But Paula, when she read it the first time, she thought it said, move over, brethren. You know? See, it's fun when people read the Bible. You hear them say all kinds of stuff, you know? Move over, brethren. Okay? But it means moreover. He's like, and there's more besides. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He's getting ready to tell us what the gospel is. He says, because the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, you've believed, and wherein you stand, by which also, by the gospel, you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now he's getting ready to tell him what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He said somebody had to tell me the gospel. How that Christ, here's the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, according to the Bible. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, does that remind you of anything? That's exactly right. But what else does it remind you of? Okay? He said, he died he died for our sins, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. What is that picture? What does that look like? I'm sorry? Baptism. That's why we get baptized like that. That's why the Bible teaches that. Because it shows our belief in the gospel, which is the good news that God loved us so much that he got what we deserve. He said, I'm setting down the penalty for sin. And he said, now I love you so much, I'm going to go pay your penalty for you. So the gospel, in a nutshell, you ready? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. Okay? Okay? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Would you like to read that, young lady? You have to hold it close.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Now, do you see what that said? That he should taste death for every man. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, he tasted death for every man. He died for each one of us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Who wants to read that? You want to read that? You read that. Hebrews 9:22.
And almost all the things are by the law
purged
with blood, and without
shedding
of blood is no remission.
Very good. Now that word remission, see it at the bottom, no remission? It means no removal, no forgiveness of sin. So let's read it that way. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no removal of sin, no forgiveness of sin. That's why when I ask you the question, if you were to die right now and stand before God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? what would your answer be? And when you get, now think about it. What would your answer be? And when you, thinking of your answer, why God should let you in heaven? Because everybody in this room wants to go to heaven. I mean, there's nobody in here that wants to go to hell, right? You don't want to go to hell, right? Right.
No.
You did good. All right. You were the only one. Everybody else, I'm not sure, you know, because you raised your hand. I don't want to go to hell. Okay.
I don't want to go to hell either.
Okay, good for you. Now, watch this. It's a terrible place. Now watch this. Okay? When you stand before God and He says, why shall I let you into heaven? And you start telling Him, well, I try to be good and I cover furniture for the church and I try to be a good person. And God says, where is the blood in your offering? Because without the shedding of blood, without blood being spilled, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no removal. I can't remove your sin. The only thing that can remove sin is blood, because the payment for sin is death. And when we've sinned, God can't just forgive it just to say, I forgive it. God doesn't just forgive because we say, God, forgive me. There's many people every day that ask God to forgive them and He doesn't forgive them, because they don't come through the blood of Jesus. He forgives you because you look at His, what God said, this is the only way. And when you come God's way and say, God, I don't have any reason to be forgiven, but Jesus died in my place and I'm asking you to forgive me because of what Jesus did. Not because I deserve it, not because I said I'm sorry. See, when somebody says, I'm sorry, you know how hard that is to say? It's hard because we have pride. Is pride a virtue? Is that good or is that sin? Well, when we say, but it's hard for me to say I'm sorry, that means you're full of pride. Remember, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility. We need to humble ourselves. That's why what we taught our kids, this is just a side note, it's in the parentheses. Here's what we taught our kids. Don't just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hit you, Carson, and broke your toy. I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry.
Whoa.
That's what, have you ever seen
Boy.
Kids, well, hey, hush, hush, hush. Have you ever seen kids do that? I said I'm sorry. So are they sorry? So what we taught our kids was, Carson, I was wrong. Will you forgive me?
I will.
Okay? What I'm saying is, you can say those words and not mean it. It's not just saying words, but it's trying to help them to understand. Don't just say, I'm sorry. Here, I'm sorry. Here, I'm sorry. Deal with it. That's what we've done. That's how we've done with other people. I said I was sorry. Yeah, but you're not. Will you admit you're wrong? And will you then ask, please don't let me get what I deserve. Please forgive me so God can bless me. Because if you don't forgive me, that stops God from blessing me. See, when we sin against somebody else, we stop. God's like, He doesn't want us hurting one another. Do you want your kids hurting one another? You can't go bless that child who's beating the other kids up and stealing all their toys and sneaking the food into the bedroom and eating it. And are we reading? Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now watch this. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other person, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. Do you want to die in your sins? He says that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, if you don't believe, Jesus says, that I am God in the flesh and that I died in your place as your substitute, then you're going to die in your sins. I tell you, no, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish and spend eternity with a boogeyman. Next verse. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps, if maybe, the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Here's your prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God. Don't let me get what I deserve. According to your loving kindness, because you're so loving and kind. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, Father, blot out, clean my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, my perversity, my evil. For I acknowledge my transgressions where I've gone beyond the limits. It's like they said the speed limit is 55 and I went 60. I went beyond the limits. Well, there's other limits. God says when you're married, you don't look on another person and want another person. The Bible says that you're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to not lie. When we go beyond those limits, that means we've sinned. We've gone beyond the limits of what God says is acceptable. Those are called transgressions. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions. I admit I've gone beyond the limits, and my sin is ever before me. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful. Please don't let me get what I deserve. Be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. If we confess our sins, God has given us a promise. If we would admit, confess, publicly admit our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to come through Jesus, what He's teaching us. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, humble themselves, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, which will bring glory to God the Father. That if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Who do you believe Jesus is? Do you believe He's who the Bible says He is? Did He die for you? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. You're God in the flesh. You're sinless. You never sinned. I needed you. Please, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You shall be delivered. It's as if you were stuck on a house where there's a flood going through, and the army of the National Guard came in. And they rescued you off that house. You were going to perish. Jesus, we have to come to a place of realizing, I'm going to perish if I keep going the direction I'm going. And then Jesus comes in And he says, I will save you. I will deliver you. I will rescue you. For with the heart, you believe right. You believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. For the wages, what we earn for sinning, is death. But the gift, what we don't earn, what somebody wants to give me, the gift of God, is eternal life. And the only way to get it is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sleep will cure that. For by grace, grace is God's ability and favor. For by God's ability, see, Jesus is God, and He died on the cross. That's what He did for you. For by grace, for by God's ability, are you saved through faith. You putting your faith in what Jesus did. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If they say, look it, I did all this covering of this chairs. Look it, I'm a good person, God. I did all that. I spent all those hours. And he's like, I'm glad you did. He said, but that, he said, I'm glad you did. And he said, and I'm going to bless you for that. He said, that doesn't replace what Jesus did. He said, you needed what Jesus did. And if you don't see that, you need to keep reading this. I'm encouraging you to read this every day. Just read it through for yourselves. Now look how God gives His word in the next one. 1 John 5:11 through 13. And this is the record. This is God's word that God hath given to us as a gift, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath, that word hath means has. So he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God, they don't have life. Do you have life? I know you know about Jesus, but that's different than having Jesus. These things, God says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. When you meet Him, you're going to want to give thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet or fit or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance. We get to inherit and get to inherit heaven of the saints in light, who God hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of sin and has translated us. Zoom! Beam me up, Scotty. What's that called? Star Trek. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption. That means we were bought back. We were ransomed because we had sold ourselves unto sin. In whom, in Jesus, we have redemption. We were bought back through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then they that gladly received His word, they followed God in baptism. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Who's them? The next little phrase tells us. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. They were added unto them, the church, daily, such as should be saved. Look at the last verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to say something. Imagine that I get to talk. I want you to hear me. There are a number of people recently that have come to me. If you know Jesus, I hope you hear what I'm saying. And if you don't know Jesus, I hope you hear what I'm saying. But if you do know Jesus, you need to pray about what I'm getting ready to say. There are a number of people recently, even today, that have come to me and said, I want Jesus. I want to know Him. I want peace with God. You may already know Him. You need to pray for those who don't know Him. You don't know Him? God is working in your heart. That's why you've come to me. And then there's some of you that you don't know if you're saved or you're not saved. You believe in God. Maybe you've prayed a prayer before, been in some church, did something. But you don't know. You don't have peace with God. If you were to die right now, you'd be scared to death. I'm not scared to die. I've had people literally threaten my life. And I said, go ahead and kill me. I said, you can't threaten me with Jesus. I get to go to be with Jesus, so go ahead and kill me. And they don't know what to do. Because they couldn't scare me. Because the thing, that was what they thought they had to do, was scare me with death. But you can't scare me with death. Because I can't die. I have eternal life. You could kill this body, but that's not me. See, I can't even see you. I can't even see you. I can only see the body you're living in. And it's temporary. But the real you, you're going to either go to be with God or separated from God. And many people on this planet live in such a way they're separated from God, even if they have come to know Him, but they don't have peace with God because there's more, as we're going to talk as time goes on, but they don't even know. I'm trying to help you to know, if you know Him. 1993, we ended up having peace with God, didn't we? And we've had peace with God since, haven't we? That's when I first met Steve, and he was working at a gas station as a manager behind the counter. He was working there, and I went in there, and somehow, I don't know, I probably just interrupted his life. You know, all I ever talk about is Jesus, so he just probably got a good dose of Jesus. And then we were driving down the street, and right over there, see that orange roof building? We were driving down Division, and I pulled over in that parking lot. Steve said, I want to meet Jesus. And I pulled right over in that parking lot in 1993. Nope, not that orange building. I'm sorry. It's on the other side of the street. Whatever's on the other side of that orange building. And I pulled in the parking lot. And Steve met Jesus. Folks, I want you to meet Jesus. Now hear me. God this week was dealing in my heart. I've been praying for you. I pray for you. I pray for you. Preachers all over this country wish they could have what I've had happen to me in the last few weeks. And that is people every week coming to me and saying, I want to know God. Would you help me get to know God? Preachers all over the country would like people to do that. Because a whole lot of people that go to church, they don't know God. They go to church because they know about God and they know it's true and it's right, but they don't know God yet. I want you to meet God. God's working in you. He calls it being born again. I'm throwing this at you. He calls it being born again because it is a process of God working in you to bring you to a place to where you get birthed into the family of God. When you get birthed, it happens, boom, immediately. And you're born again, and it's like, wow. And you're born again. But until then, God's working in you because you have to come by way of truth. Are you hearing me? You have to come by way of truth. And God's dealing with you to bring you by way of truth. Because God doesn't play games. He's not a God of darkness. He's a God of truth and light. And when you start reading the Bible and you listen, God begins to deal in your heart, and you start getting nervous and uncomfortable. And he's dealing in your heart, and you can't sleep or think because it's like he's just dealing in you. Because he just like gets you right by the life cord, Alden. And he just starts shaking you. And you're like, Because he's dealing with you about life and death. So it's a real serious thing. And he's calling you. God's after you. So, I want you to listen to me. If you're not 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, even if you are, but those of you who are not 100% sure, or you're not sure how to tell somebody else or help somebody else know him, but especially those of you who do not know him, okay? I want you to take this, and I want you to read it every day. Just read this on your own. But begin to pray it. That's why I gave you that little paper about how to pray it, how to get more out of it. So you're not just reading words. You're actually thinking about what it's saying. You're inviting God to come work in your heart. And God will bring you. Because a lot of you know the words because you've been listening. You've been in church and you know words. But there's a difference between knowing words to say and having Jesus live inside of you. You could know about George Washington, but you've never met him. You could know about Jesus, but have you ever met him? Big difference. It's meeting him. It's knowing him. And remember, there's one in here. I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them which know not God. You see, knowing about him is not the same as knowing him. If you don't know him, you're going to have flaming fire taking vengeance on you because you're still guilty of having killed Jesus and not come to him and get his forgiveness. Because all of our sin killed Jesus. So we're guilty of that main sin is killing Jesus. Do you understand? So the sin that damns people to hell is unbelief. I'm not believing on you, Jesus. I know about you, but I'm not believing on you. I'm not humbling myself. I'm not coming to you. I'm not admitting it's my sin that killed you and that I needed you to die for me. And so you never know him. And therefore, you're going to be in flaming fire. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Quit acting like Carson. Okay. Another Carson and Richard. Quit. You guys are bad influences on her. I love you. I love you, but I want you to know something. I have to tell you the truth. Would you want me to not tell you the truth? I can't hear you. Would you want me to not tell you the truth? I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts. I didn't hurt her, you know. I know, but it's okay. I want you to take, here's your homework. I want you to take and read that. And I don't care if you only get through one verse. But at the end, next week, I want you to bring me your homework. I want you to answer the questions for that verse. And then I want you to go to the next verse and answer those same questions for that verse. And the next verse. And it could be real simple. You could just go, I understand it, whatever. What are these questions? Where's the questions? Here's a go. Go. Who is this talking about? It's talking about the Word. Are there any repeated words or phrases? The Word. What is the verse teaching? It's teaching that the Word is a person. It is. What is God saying to me? I don't know. Do I believe what it's saying? Yep, I believe the Word of God. Pray the verse into my life. God, I want to know this person, the Word. I want to be with you. Tell God you want that verse. You want what that verse is saying. Personalize it. God, this is for me. How can I apply this to my life? Now, some of those you can't answer. I don't want you to. You don't have to answer them in words. But some of them, you need to write down the answer. Like, who and what is it talking about? And if you can go through and do the whole thing, that's great. But I don't care if you only got one verse and you just meditated on that, and that verse God was dealing with you on, that's fine, yes. Yes, of course. That's perfect. That's awesome. She says, okay, my husband helps me with it. We read the Bible together every day. Is that cool? That is cool. Would that, yes? Can I tell you something? I don't just want to have church where we get up and entertain you. I don't want to just have church where you just, we came, we all danced around, you know. Oh, it was good. Oh, we hugged one another. Oh, yeah. See, I don't just want to hug you. I want us to have a relationship. That's why we go out to eat. That's why we try to spend time together. That's why we get together over here during the week and they do Bible studies or they do them at each other's homes. That's why we do that. Because I care about your life. I care about you living Jesus. Not just having your name on our roll. I'm not just looking to have your name on our list of people that come here. I want to help you with your life. I want to help you with your marriage. I want to help you with your children. I want to help you with you not being able to sleep at night. I want to help you with your life. You can just start calling me Dr. Harvey. I just want to help you. Do you understand? I love you. I love you, not just warm, fuzzy feelings, but I care about you. I was up till 4:30 in the morning one night. God put y'all on me when it was time to go to bed, when I quit watching my Westerns, and I was going to go to bed. And God started talking to me about y'all, and all these verses just kept coming to me. And finally, I got up out of bed, because I lay there for about an hour or more. You know, Sue went to sleep. And then I got up, and I started writing this down, and I started reading my Bible, and I'm studying, and I'm reading. I was up till 4:30 in the morning writing this. And God said, write them all down. And I didn't know I was going to give them to you or whatever. I was praying for you, all of you, and a number of you. I can see you by face. You were right in my face while this was going on. I won't mention any names, Julian and Muharram and Sadiq. I won't mention any names, Abby. I won't tell you who I'm thinking of. I'm letting you know there was some of you that were right here, Reuben, on my heart, Maria, right in my face while I'm doing this. And my heart is just going out to you, Alden and Alina. My heart's just going out to you. And I am just like hugging you and holding you and reaching for you in my heart. Do you understand? I care about you. Yes, pesky little squirrel. What?
Well, you were talking a minute ago about Dr. Harvey. Well, except this surgery is the best one.
That's right! You know, one time, let me end with this story. Did I ever tell y'all this story? One day I'm walking down the street to tell people, one day I'm walking down the street to tell people about Jesus, okay? And I see a man And he's out there and he's sweeping his driveway. And I walked up to him and I said, I'm out in the, he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm out in the neighborhood talking to people about Jesus and how to know Jesus. And so we get to talking. I said, why are you here? Because it was during the middle of the day. I was working second or third shift, and so I was going out during the day. And here he is out in the middle of the day sweeping his driveway. And I said, why are you out here sweeping your driveway? He said, well, I don't work anymore. He said, because I had open heart surgery. And I said, oh, you did? So did I. I had open heart surgery. He said, you did? I said, yeah. He said, well, I had like the best doctor in the Midwest. We searched and we got the best. I said, really? I got the most prominent doctor in the whole world. He's the best doctor in the whole world. Really? I said, yeah. And he said, look, I got a scar here. And he pulled his shirt open and he showed me how he had a scar. He said, do you have a scar? I said, my doctor was so good, I didn't even get a scar. He got scarred. He said, who was your doctor? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took out of me my sinful heart, and he gave me his heart. And he didn't even leave a scar. He said, I'd like to have his heart. So I shared with him the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he and I got right down. Here's a street. And we were right by the street in his driveway. And we got right down there on our knees. And he called out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus. And was born again. He met and he got up and said, he just gave me his heart! I said, I know! You see, any story people could come up with, I can relate to it. I love you. I love you because Jesus loves you. I love you because I told Jesus he could love anybody he wanted through me, and he thought I meant it when I said it. So he just loves you to pieces right through me. Is that cool? He wants to do that in you. He wants you to be so secure in his love that when others hurt you, you are so secure in his love, like you were maybe with your mommy, that you run to daddy and you lean against him. And he puts his arms around you and he holds you and he kisses your boo-boos. And he doesn't get in a hurry like our parents did sometimes. Okay, Harvey, go play. That's enough. I was clingy. Get off me, Harvey. God doesn't do that. He lets me be clingy because I need him. When I get hurt, when I get people hurt me, say things about me, treat me ways, then I run to him. Because I know I'm secure in his love. I want you to be secure in his love. Okay? Now, we're going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you. And then I don't want you, I'm talking to everybody in here that can hear me. I don't want you to leave without giving me a hug. You can give each other a hug, that's okay. But you've got to come give me a hug. Okay? Jesus, thank you that you are love. And thank you that you love us right where we're at. You want to give us your heart, take out of us that other heart, and give us your heart that would be after you, after light and truth and the way of righteousness, so that we could look you eyeball to eyeball from this day forward and hang out with you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for giving me the most awesome, you handpicked this group, and you gave them to me. I am honored. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.